CNN's Laura Dolan reports he changed his plea in court this morning, to everyone's surprise, and read a statement.
He said he did it to avenge the killing of innocent Muslims and that the U.S. was the one who was guilty. He also said he was guilty under U.S. law, but not under the law of the Quran.
The man tried to bring down a U.S. airliner Christmas Day 2009 with an explosive device in his shorts. Congressional investigators issued new subpoenas targeting the Justice Department's Fast and Furious gun-running program. CNN's Bob Costantini has more on the latest go-round between Capitol Hill and the White House.
House Republicans, led by Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa, say they need new subpoenas to get unedited versions of communications.
We're looking at the entire failure of the Justice Department in Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious not only is embarrassing the administration, but proved deadly when some of the smuggled weapons turned up at Mexican and American crime scenes. Attorney General Eric Holder is one of the investigation targets.
We have sent thousands of pages of documents up to the Hill. We'll look at the subpoenas. I'm sure we will undoubtedly comply with them.
Bob Costantini, CNN Washington.
Billionaire investor Warren Buffett says his adjusted gross income last year was nearly $63 million. His taxable income just shy of $40 million. He says his federal income tax bill came to slightly less than $7 million. Millions of BlackBerry users throughout the world are without the service for a third day. CNN's Atika Schubert reports the BlackBerry maker thinks it knows what the problem is.
The problem seems to be, they said, a core switch failure. This is basically a way of directing traffic from different parts of the internet, from the network to different servers. And they say because of this core switch failure and a backup failure, there's been a huge backlog of data that they're now trying to sort through.
Authorities have arrested a 35-year-old Florida man thought to be involved in hacking into the personal email accounts of people in the entertainment industry. The FBI calls its investigation Operation Hackerazzi. This is CNN Radio.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With everyone working on the go, holding an impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. Not anymore. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you could host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from a computer or iPad. And now they can join from the iPhone or any Android mobile device, too. Download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions or host your own meetings with a free 45-day trial by visiting GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use promo code 45.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Have you noticed that Uncle Sam's privates are shrinking? This is Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey. Actually, it's been happening for years, but the shrinkage seems to have accelerated recently. The bottom line is that if the federal government was organized along military lines, it would have more officers than enlisted personnel, more colonels, captains, and majors than corporals or privates. So the question is this: are desperate federal agencies and crafty federal managers using promotions to get around the federal pay freeze? A recent study shows that the number of grade 12 through 15 employees outnumbers workers in lower grades. In the D.C. area, the pay range for GS-12 to GS-15 is $75,000 to $155,000 a year. Several former high-level career civil servants say employees have come to consider promotions as entitlements and rewards for good work, not for added responsibility. So are they wrong? Check out my column, Mike Causey's Federal Report, at federalnewsradio.com.
Hello, my federal friends. It's the Geico Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news. Geico offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right. Geico, the government employees insurance company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about Geico's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
All of Federal News Radio's exclusive interviews and shows are archived online at federalnewsradio.com. Listen to an interview again or share it with friends. Find it at federalnewsradio.com.
In depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Wednesday, October 12, 2011 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The 3 o'clock hour on Wednesday is Pentagon Solutions. When we take a deep dive look at the issues that the Pentagon is dealing with and we get solutions to them from people inside and outside the Pentagon, sometimes from industry. And today, listening in on decision makers at the Pentagon talking about getting the books at the Pentagon ready to be audited by 2017. The House Armed Services Committee panel on defense, financial management, and auditability reform looked at this issue last week. The hearing called Is the Financial Management Workforce Positioned to Achieve DOD's Financial Improvement Goals? The witness lineup included Sandra Gregory, the Special Assistant to the Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller at DOD, Mary Sally Mattiella, the Assistant Secretary of the Army Financial Management and Comptroller, and Gladys Commons, Assistant Secretary of the Navy Financial Management and Comptroller, and Jamie Morin, the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force Financial Management Comptroller, all of them testifying about what is happening at their individual branches, and of course, Ms. Gregory talking about the Defense Department overall. She was the first witness to testify to this panel, which is overseen by the chairman, Mike Conaway, and the ranking member, Rob Andrews, both, of course, of the House Armed Services Committee. And we start our coverage today on Pentagon Solutions with a highlight of Ms. Gregory's testimony.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify today concerning the Department of Defense financial management workforce. I submitted a statement for the record, which I will summarize briefly. With more than 33 years of DOD financial management experience, I continue to serve with a dedicated, skilled financial workforce that is seriously mindful of its stewardship role. As the functional community manager for the DOD financial management community, I am responsible for compliance with the overarching DOD Civilian Human Capital Strategy Plan that's led by the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness. Our goal is to make a good workforce better and to get the right people trained at the right job for today and for the future. In concert with the Department's Human Capital Plans, we recently took steps to establish a course-based certification program designed to provide a framework and as a way to promote certain types of education, including a focus on auditability for defense financial managers. This program will focus on critical areas to include achieving department-wide auditability, sharpening analytics, and increasing overall accountability. The proposed DOD financial management certification program will be similar to the program for the defense acquisition workforce. The House and Senate Armed Services Committees provided legal authority for the new program in their FY12 authorization bills, and as Congress works through the legislative process, we are laying the groundwork now, so we will be ready to implement the program once the Authorization Act is finalized. Our effort is currently focused on five areas. First, to map existing Department of Defense courses to competencies. The DOD Financial Management Certification Program is based on financial management enterprise-wide competencies. The DOD portfolio of financial management training and professional development courses will be aligned to these competencies. This alignment will aid in building a standard body of DOD financial management knowledge and in elevating shared competencies with a renewed emphasis in analytics, decision support, and audit readiness. Second, we're focusing on task-based certification. The department has identified 20 professional task-based certifications for areas such as accounting, auditing, cost, and financial management. Third, we are concerned with the range of experience in our financial management professionals. The certification program will require not only specific DOD financial management experience at different levels, but it will also require experience in different types of assignments. Fourth, considering that our personnel are scattered throughout DOD and its many locations, we are sensitive to the need for communications and marketing. An aggressive and comprehensive communication.
Old movie, the American people understand that it's a
web-based articles and educational material is crucial to inform and educate the workforce prior and during implementation. And fifth, we're aware of the need for a certification program support, and oversight will be required at various levels throughout DOD to administer the program. DOD's efforts are focused on deliberate, professional workforce development, ensuring that the financial management community has a broad, enterprise-wide perspective and a standard body of knowledge throughout the department. We are focused on making a good DOD financial workforce even better as we march toward that 2017 goal of obtaining a clean audit opinion. In summary, the department recognizes the importance of maintaining a capable workforce to improve financial management in DOD, and especially with respect to better analysis, audit readiness, and increased accountability for all who are entrusted with the taxpayers' money. We appreciate the support of both the House and Senate Armed Services Committee, and we have already provided needed legal authority. They have provided needed legal authority in their authorization bills for the Financial Management Certification Program, and we will work with the House and Senate on final language for the FY12 NDAA. So I appreciate the time you and your distinguished panel have devoted to financial management workforce issues. I look forward to your questions. And, Mr. Chairman, this concludes my statement.
That's Sandra Gregory. She's a special assistant to the Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller at DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Her testimony at a hearing of the House Armed Services Committee's panel on defense financial management and auditability reform on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Over the skies, it says the enemy can't see you. To the Marines who carry out their mission on the ground, it says I have your back. To adversaries, it says don't even think about it. It is the F-35B, the fifth generation multi-role fighter jet that combines short takeoff and vertical landing capability with supersonic speed and radar evading stealth. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go. Wherever the mission takes them, our Marines know it will be there. It's the F-35B, a fighter jet that can take off and land virtually anywhere, from the most remote, austere airfields and roads to modern ships. That means it can be based close to frontline combat, shrinking the distance between base and target. For the Marines and for our nation, that's a game-changing advantage. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go.
Here's Mike Malazzo, Deputy CIO for Operations of HUD, on the Storage Efficiency Panel, sponsored by NetApp.
We are seeing a surge in new applications, new data requirements, along with looking at best practices. You know, deduplication is certainly a place where we want to look. We also need to look at getting our arms around the data to consolidate where we can. There's a lot of redundant data. This gentleman spoke about litigation holds. That's never ending, and we're keeping data for a long period of time on that.
To hear more, visit federalnewsradio.com, keyword storage.
If you're in federal IT, there's one area where you really want to do more with less. That's storage.
Simple.
And how do you keep storage from eating up your budget? That's simple. Buy less of it. NetApp storage is flexible and easy to manage. It also requires far less hardware, at least 50% less for virtualized environments. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like WWT. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal. by the latest second-generation Intel Core processors, new HP ProLiant GS servers are an ideal choice for reducing power costs and getting a jump on your cloud computing initiatives. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how the power of HP and Intel can achieve ROI in as little as 2 months. Talk to GovConnection and find out how together they can power your data center into the future. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Welcome to Beltway Q&A, provided by EMC. Our guest is Dan Doherty, Vice President, EMC Federal. Dan, can one-size storage and backup solutions fit all mission needs?
No. Some requirements, like full-motion video, virtualization, backup and recovery, have specialized needs that are best met by simple purpose-built solutions.
So understanding the mission requirements is important to architecting the right solution.
Yes, EMC works hard to first understand the mission and then deliver solutions that are optimized, simple, and affordable.
Available on GSA schedule through government acquisitions.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Thursday morning's Federal Drive. We're going to tell you about the biggest procurement fraud ever. And it happened at the Army Corps of Engineers. And we'll hear from the head of the information sharing environment about the White House's new cyber policy on leaks and its response to WikiLeaks. That and more Thursday morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check us out on federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Pentagon Solutions Today, a look at auditability at the Pentagon. And the House Armed Services Committee's panel on defense, financial management, and auditability reform, holding a hearing called Is the Financial Management Workforce Positioned to Achieve DOD's Financial Improvement Goals? Mary Sally Mattiella, the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Financial Management and Comptroller, the next witness to testify at this hearing taking place in the panel last week.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify today regarding the Army's financial management workforce. Secretary McHugh, Chief of Staff Ordierno, and Undersecretary Westfall, our Chief Management Officer, and all of our senior leaders appreciate the criticality of establishing and retaining a qualified workforce, a workforce which will enable the Army to be audit-ready by September 30th, 2017. The Army employs hardworking soldiers and civilian personnel across all functional areas who are committed to improving our business processes and supporting our warfighters. However, the systems and processes that we are improving require the implementation and execution of different processes and different practices. By requiring our workforce to adjust to different systems, practices, and controls, my peers and I must fulfill our obligation to train them and to provide sufficient resources to train them successfully. The Army has a well-deserved reputation for training our soldiers as the best warfighters in the world. We are working towards supporting our warfighters with the best financial management workforce in the world. In fact, the Chief of Staff of the Army and the CMO of the Army recently initiated an Army-wide workforce capability assessment to obtain a better understanding of the Army's functional capabilities, to identify potential workforce redundancies and gaps, and to establish an actionable plan to improve the workforce. We are connecting the outcomes of that workforce review to the deployment of our new business systems, thus creating a more efficient and effective tail that supports the tooth of the Army. In addition to these critical workforce assessments, we are undergoing annual audit examinations by an independent public accounting firm each year from fiscal year 2011 to 2014. These audit examinations will serve to condition the Army on how to support financial statement audits and to ensure that our audit readiness strategy is sound and remains on schedule. By repeating this cycle of assessing, testing, identifying deficiencies, and implementing corrective actions, we are providing our workforce with hands-on, real-life audit readiness experience and training. We believe that this experience with audit examinations will supplement our instructor-led training courses on systems, internal controls, and corrective action implementation. While my office is guiding the Army's audit readiness efforts, it is important to note that establishing and maintaining an auditable business environment depends heavily on business process owners outside of financial management or the controller field. Fortunately, Secretary McHugh appreciates the fact and is holding senior executives across all businesses accountable for supporting the Army's audit readiness goals. I am working with my counterparts in logistics, manpower, and others to ensure that they understand our requirements and provide us appropriate support to meet this shared mission. It is extremely important that our business partners interface auditable data into our accounting system. That is, that their systems, processes, data, and controls also pass audit scrutiny. I'm confident that we will be audit ready by September 30th, 2017, because we have a sound and resource financial improvement plan that relies heavily on providing the appropriate training and resources for the Army soldiers and civilians, and also holds them accountable for enabling an auditable environment. Secretary McHugh, Chief of Staff Odierno, Secretary Westfall are all committed, as I am, to improving our financial processes, conducting workforce analysis, and restructuring and training our financial workforce to meet audit standards. Developing the most capable workforce is the right thing to do for the Army, our federal government, and the men and women defending our nation. I look forward to continued collaboration with the members of the panel, our counterparts in the Senate, GAO, and Secretary Hale to ensure the Army's workforce obtains and retains the appropriate skills, certifications, and experience to meet our stewardship responsibilities. I look forward to your questions.
That's Mary Sally Mattiello, the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Financial Management and Comptroller on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We continue looking at DOD's audit readiness by 2017 with Gladys Commons of the Navy next up on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Solving the Big Data Problem by Mark Logic.
When you hear about big data, don't just think about volume. It's more than that. The real challenge is that it's mostly unstructured. Unstructured data is growing 10 to 50 times faster than structured data. That's the true meaning of big data. It's a relentless stream of information coming at you from every source, in every form imaginable. Making sense of it is critical.
Learn how to solve the big data problem at marklogic.com. That's marklogic.com.
For more than 30 years, FLIR Systems has provided customers with trusted support needed in critical missions. With a full spectrum of products designed to enhance perception and awareness, FLIR's threat detection systems are used by civilian and government agencies around the world. FLIR now provides comprehensive radiation detection and identification for threat detection, disaster preparedness, and emergency management, such as the ongoing crisis in Japan. For more information, visit FLIR.com/detection.
Get set to sweat. Come to Tyson Sport and Health Club for the second annual Sweat for a Vet, a first-of-its-kind inclusive fitness event raising money and awareness for our wounded warriors. Spin, row, or crank in a three-hour inspiring class taught by the best, including disabled vets and spinning creator Johnny G. If you're challenged by a disability but would love to join them, you are totally invited. Contact Sweat for a Vet for details. Sweatforavet.org. Saturday, November 12th, starting at 9:30.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life and Himalaya Herbal Healthcare.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Weights and Smokes. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss. With HHS HealthBeat, weight training might help people stop smoking. At the Miriam Hospital in Rhode Island, Joseph Ciccolo tested the idea on 25 smokers. All got smoking cessation training and nicotine patches, but some did twice-a-week resistance exercise for 12 weeks. Ciccolo says the weights seemed to make a difference.
Individuals at the three-month follow-up were twice as likely to quit smoking in comparison to the control group.
Ciccolo says they also lost weight and fat and gained muscle. And he says they had kept the quit smoking advantage they had over the people who had not done the weight training. The study in the journal Nicotine and Tobacco Research was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Efforts are ramping up as agencies will close nearly 200 data centers by the end of the year to meet the target of consolidating at least 800 of the government's 2,000 centers. In March, the Data Center Consolidation Task Force will publish government-wide best practices to include management of private, public, and traditional data centers. Join FCO Bethesda October 14th at the Bethesda North Marriott for an early report on the future of data center consolidation. Register today at fcobethesda.org/octbreakfast.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The House Armed Services Committee took a lesson from the acquisition reform panel that was led by Congressman Rob Andrews in the previous Congress. That panel wrapped up its work several months ago, and ranking member Michael Conaway and Congressman Andrews agreed to take on the issue of defense financial management and auditability, the issue of the DOD being able to audit its books. With the change in Congress at the beginning of this year, Congressman Conaway became the chairman of the panel. Congressman Andrews now the ranking member, and in a hearing last week called "Is the Financial Management Workforce Positioned to Achieve DOD's Financial Improvement Goals?" they heard from Sandra Gregory, Special Assistant to the Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller Bob Hale, and the comptrollers of the three branches of the military: Mary Sally Mattiella of the Army, Gladys Commons of the Navy, Jamie Morin of the Air Force. In this highlight, testimony from Gladys Commons, the Comptroller of the Navy.
The financial management workforce is a professional and well-trained team of 9,000-plus civilian and military personnel. Today, I specifically focus on personnel classified in the General Schedule 500 series. Our financial managers, accountants, auditors, financial technicians, and our military financial managers. Our first responsibility is to the warfighter. We need to effectively obtain the financial resources to meet the warfighter's needs by developing supportable budgets, budget strategies, and justification. We want to ensure that we get the most capability for every dollar we spend and can accurately account for those expenditures. Achieving auditable financial statements will assure you, the warfighter, and the taxpayers that we take this responsibility seriously. For many years, we have had a very strong budget formulation and execution team. With the establishment of the Defense Finance and Accounting Service in the 1990s, most of our accounting expertise was transferred to that organization. While we divested the day-to-day accounting operation, we retained fiduciary responsibility. As we tried to improve financial management and move toward auditability, we recognized that we could no longer afford stovepipe positions or narrow skill sets. To be effective and efficient, our workforce needed a broad level of understanding of the full range of the department's financial management and fiduciary responsibilities. In 2006, we took steps to broaden the scope and responsibilities of our professional and technician workforce. As a follow-on, We provided career roadmaps to guide the education, training, and experience required by our workforce at all levels, entry, journeyman, and expert. Today, we provide a range of opportunities from online training courses, classroom training, to an executive master's of business administration taught by the Naval Postgraduate School. We also have a fellowship program allowing full-time attendance at a graduate school or a career-broadening job assignment. However, we know that we have some skills and knowledge gaps, particularly in the area of audit readiness. To specifically address those gaps, we asked the Naval Postgraduate School to develop an audit readiness course. Starting this year, they will conduct a 3-day course to be taught 10 to 12 times during the year at our major geographic hubs. This will dovetail with the Financial Improvement and Audit Readiness Short Course taught by the Office of the Secretary of Defense Comptroller. Of equal importance is having the right number and mix of people to perform our financial management functions. 2 years ago, we took steps to beef up my own financial operations staff to provide better oversight and guidance to our major commands and to ensure we were taking proper steps and priorities to achieve financial audit readiness. Currently, I believe the financial management workforce is structured, civilians, military personnel, and contractor is properly sized to achieve our goals. While I have addressed the professionalism and training of our financial management workforce, I recognize that there are many others who influence the ability to achieve auditable financial statements. As I noted in my last testimony before you, we are reaching out to our general and flag officers, our senior executives, and business process owners so that they understand the roles and responsibilities that they play. We believe this will cascade down throughout the workforce and support the department's efforts to achieve audit readiness. Thank you for your interest in our workforce, and I look forward to answering any questions you might have.
That's Gladys Commons. She's the Comptroller of the Navy, and her testimony there coming at a hearing of the House Armed Services Committee's panel on defense financial management and auditability reform on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's Pentagon Solutions. Every Wednesday in the 3 o'clock hour, we look at the challenges the Pentagon's dealing with and look at solutions from people both inside and outside the Pentagon. In just a moment, the Comptroller of the Air Force, Jamie Moran, on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Do you know us? You count on our technology every day. The office elevator that takes you up and down efficiently. The jet engine that gets you home safely. The fire suppression system you hope you never need, but know is there. You count on things we make to protect you from harm and even to keep you cool and comfortable. Our technologies are a critical part of your everyday life. Yet many people don't even know who we are. Our name is United Technologies. We are Carrier, Hamilton Sunstrand, Otis, Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky, and UTC Fire and Security. Six businesses united as one powerful company. In fact, we are one of the largest manufacturers in the United States, which likely makes us the biggest company you've never heard of, even though you depend on us every single day. United Technologies. Get to know more about us at UTC.com.
Three things to know about the proposed merger of AT&T and T-Mobile. With the planned merger, AT&T will invest $8 billion more and deploy the next generation of wireless internet to nearly everyone in America. This investment will create as many as 96,000 American jobs. We're not investing to create jobs, but jobs will be created because we're investing. AT&T.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Dr. Dewey Murdick is the program manager of FUSE, Foresight and Understanding from Scientific Exposition.
There's a lot of desire to keep our decision leaders, give them insight so they can anticipate technical change rather than just react to it. So analysts are continually looking through a lot of information, trying to find what technologies and what capabilities are coming around the corner that we need to be able to respond to.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federal drive.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Pentagon Solutions today, looking at financial management at the Pentagon, in particular the financial management workforce, and the House Armed Services Committee's panel on defense financial management and auditability reform, asking the question, is that workforce positioned to achieve DOD's financial improvement goals? Jamie Morin, the comptroller of the Air Force, weighing in on that subject at a hearing of the panel.
As the Air Force comptroller, I view it as my responsibility to make sure the Air Force has the right workforce with the right skills and the right training in order to help our secretary and our chief of staff produce an Air Force that can fly, fight, and win for the nation. That is our ultimate goal. And at a time when our resources are very tight, it's all the more important that we get the most out of our people. For the Air Force, that means over 8,000 civilians in financial management, over 900 officers, and almost 3,800 enlisted members. Those are our Air Force financial managers, and it's really only through their full contributions that we can get the maximum combat capability out of each dollar that the Congress appropriates and entrusts to us. Strengthening that workforce is a vital part of our effort. I will say, while this panel was obviously created to focus on helping the Department of Defense get to audit readiness, as my colleagues have mentioned, not every financial manager in the Air Force is an accountant, not every financial manager in the Air Force is a budget officer, and a clean audit is a means to the end of better management of taxpayer resources. So I think it's important to understand the depth and the breadth of the Air Force financial management workforce. We cover a wide range of activities. Cost analysts, as I mentioned in previous testimony to this committee, are a key part of the Air Force financial management workforce, as are people doing program control and acquisition programs, as are the budget team, and down to the folks working at a technical level processing military pay transactions. It's a broad workforce that includes auditors, transaction processors, planners, accountants, a whole range of activities. The Air Force needs that diversified financial management workforce in order to handle that full range of responsibilities that really extend throughout the life of appropriated funds, from initial development of a budget, a program objective memorandum, when our cost analysts have to help us understand what we need in order to carry out our mission in terms of dollars, through to financial systems management and ultimately financial reporting. I also, of course, want to mention that many of these responsibilities have to occur in a deployed environment. Right now, we have over 260 Air Force financial managers deployed into harm's way, again, doing a wide range of activities, from taking care of pay and benefits issues for other deployed folks, all the way through budget building and cost analysis. The workforce that we bring to bear on these challenges is quite well educated and skilled. Over 60% of the Air Force financial management workforce holds a degree of some sort, and 2,700 of those folks have master's degrees or above. Now, that includes more than 100 of our enlisted troops who have a master's. It's a well-educated workforce, and it's a workforce that is committed to professional development. We see a heavy focus on certifications, although there's always room for improvement there. Looking just at my primary headquarters type audit readiness workforce and those directly associated with them out in the field, that's a workforce of about 80 people, and we've got 12 CPAs in that group. We've got 15 certified defense financial managers in that group, 8 certified government financial managers in that group. It's a group that's well-credentialed with in terms of both education, training, and certification. But it's critical that we continue to focus on getting that workforce the appropriate skills, education, training, as we work towards audit readiness. And some of the skills that they need to bring to bear will change as we move to new systems, again, as my colleagues have alluded. Our financial managers are learning how to use and some of the basic theory behind the new enterprise resource planning systems. It demands a different set of skills and a different sort of attention to particular details than the prior systems did. There's no question about that. Moving from what's really a bookkeeping system to a true financial system that can produce audible financial statements requires changes at every level. And it will require us to focus our, to more broadly focus our training resources. We can't identify just a tenth or a quarter of our workforce and lavish training on them. We've got to reach really 100% because weak links in the chain can break the audit readiness effort. We've had a particular focus on the pilot users of our Defense Enterprise Accounting Management System, DEAMS, at Scott Air Force Base, where we've had close relationships with the program office and our functional management office to ensure that the line-level users on that system get the training they need, get the focused attention that they need as they really relearn their jobs. And it's not without challenges, but it's been a productive hand-holding relationship with the users teaching the developers and support teams teaching the users. We're also working to restructure our enlisted curriculum at our financial management schoolhouse, where we've moved more commercial accounting standards into that training, focusing less on teaching people how to use the legacy systems and more on preparing for the future that they will operate in for most of their careers. Again, as we move from a traditional focus on manual transaction processing towards more commercial accounting, more cost analysis, more issues like that, we've got to prepare the community, and we're leaning forward in doing that. Bottom line, we're keeping our focus on auditability while we also work aggressively, strongly to support the warfighter by providing that sort of world-class decision support through a well-trained, well-educated financial management workforce. As I've said before, I very much appreciate the committee's engagement on this issue and on the broader issue of financial management and DOD. It is helping us to be better, and I thank you all for your focus on it.
That's Jamie Moore, the comptroller at the Air Force, on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, testifying with the comptrollers of the Navy and Army, and also with Sandra Gregory, a special assistant to the Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller Bob Hale at DOD. On In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, some questions for the witnesses from the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee panel on Defense Financial Management and Audibility Reform when we come back on In Depth on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal Broadband Minute, provided by Hughes.
Can your network save your agency money and still deliver bandwidth-efficient service? The answer is yes, and the savings are at the field office. Here's how. Don't pay for high-cost dedicated access lines and MPLS ports for field office connectivity. Instead, call Hughes and get an affordable managed broadband service. The benefits are huge. By replacing costly special access with affordable broadband, Hughes can save your agency up to $300 per month per site. Multiply that by all your field offices and see the savings take off. Or maybe you think your network should provide better service for the cost of what you already pay. Whether it's more savings or better quality, Hughes National Managed Broadband Service is the answer. And get a path-diverse backup solution for the same price as your primary network alone. Enable your government field office of the future from Hughes.
Visit government.hughes.com/WFED. And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Feds will pay an average of 3.8% more in health premiums next year, far less than the 7.2% average they faced this year. Part of the reason for the lower 2012 increase is the Office of Personnel Management's focus on generic drugs. OPM is also putting more emphasis on preventive and wellness programs. An increase in younger enrollees may also have helped lower costs. I'm Amy Morris.
These are hard times for federal employees. A multi-year pay freeze, rumors of furloughs, and discussions on reducing benefits are the realities that all federal employees face. Now more than ever, it's important to find ways to save your hard-earned money. One way is with life insurance from WEPA. WEPA offers lower rates and a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. To learn how much you can save, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on WFED at 10 a.m. Join me this week for my special guest, Ruth Ann Clark, Senior Market Director with Wells Fargo Bank Commercial Banking Sector. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Federal News Radio in a Web 2.0 world. Find Federal News Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio group on Facebook. Chat with our team and make connections with others in the federal arena. Email us at fnrcomment@federalnewsradio.com. Visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're hearing highlights of the House Armed Services Committee's panel on defense, financial management, and auditability reform. The hearing title is the financial management workforce positioned to achieve DOD's financial improvement goals? The comptrollers of the three branches and Sandra Gregory of the comptroller's office at DOD, the witnesses, and this series of questions from Congressman Mike Conaway, the chairman of the panel.
This is probably the most straightforward area of the entire process that we've been investigating as a panel. Everybody in the understands a little bit about how this thing should go forward. Normally, as opposed to some of the more esoteric things that are going on. Ms. Matea, you mentioned, and I think I heard in the others, that your agencies have done, or your teams have done, for lack of a better phrase, an inventory of what you have and try to know where you want to get to. Ms. Gregory, there are broader areas that a lot of other folks out there have. Can you talk to us about how you've determined what you have? What kind of skill sets you already have in place? Is it a formal process to evaluate that? What kind of a attrition plan do you have in place for all of that team? Because if everybody retires at the same time, that's not going to work either. Can you visit with us, each of you, about have you decided what you have in place and where you're headed from there? Ms. Gregory?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, there are 48,000 civilians and approximately 10,000 military doing financial management across the Department of Defense. And when we assess what we have, in conjunction with, I want to step back for a minute on the required strategic human capital plan that we're working with, because now for the first time ever, the Department of Defense at the department level has worked with all the services and components, defense agencies, to come up with enterprise-wide competencies. So when you issued the first report of the Strategic Human Capital Plan, we did not have enterprise-wide competencies. The services and some of the large defense agencies had their own separate competencies. So we will use that as a benchmark now that we have common competencies that we have been working on. So then we will measure. We will be, as part of the Strategic Human Capital Plan, we will be using those competencies to measure and find out what specific gaps we have. So right now we have identified broad gaps, for instance, such as analytics and in the area of audit readiness. And so as we continue to have more specifics, we'll be able to use those competencies that we have developed at five different levels. We use the OPM methodology of developing five different levels. Within each competencies, we have over 23 competencies throughout that are applied to all the different occupational series in the 500 financial management civilian series. So when you say how do we look at the workforce, once a quarter, Mr. Hale, the Undersecretary of Defense, has a meeting where it looks at specific metrics throughout financial management, and there is a section there on the financial workforce. to include the aging of the workforce, how many years that we've been in the workforce, how close we are to retirement. And right now, our attrition rate is very low. The federal average, I believe, is around 8%. Ours is under 4%. And last year was even a little bit lower than that. So our retirements are down, our attrition is down, and, of course, the economy is driving a lot of that. Now, having said that, I'll talk for one of the large defense agencies, Defense Contract Audit Agency, because they've been one of the areas that have brought on around 500 new auditors in their specific area. And I just met with some of them at our new Defense Civilian Emerging Leadership Program, which you authorized back in the FY10 NDAA to work also on the leadership aspect of it. So what's interesting is I met folks who, just to your earlier point, we are attracting at this point in time, we are attracting accountants and auditors who have graduate degrees from Yale and Columbia. So, and also I met some from here in George Washington. So those are a small sample size, but we are able to attract that. We'll have to continue to work at what tools we have available that when the economy picks up, that they'll be tempted, perhaps, some of the folks to leave and go the other way. We're also very much aware that the younger workforce may not have the same ideals as some of the earlier folks who came in, that they'll probably weave back and forth throughout federal government and go to the private sector and come back. So we are very much attuned to that. Like I said, we look at the statistics, we look at what tools we have available and are using them.
Yes, sir. On the Air Force side, I would say that we do have, as do I think pretty much all areas of the federal government, medium to long-term concerns about the health of the workforce as we go through a wave of retirements. A very substantial share of the Air Force financial management workforce is at or approaching retirement age, with really about a third in the age 55-plus category. That provides us a wealth of experience, and it's a tremendous asset, but obviously people will not remain in the workforce forever, and so we have to keep looking forward. As General Gregory said, the retention right now is very good for a variety of reasons, but we have to look aggressively forward. I will say one interesting nuance in the workforce that makes a real difference in the Air Force and probably for the other services. As you know, several years ago, the Congress changed the law and allowed dual compensation so that retired military personnel could also collect a federal civilian salary without an offset. And since then, there has been a substantial increase in the number of retired military, as well as other prior service military, in our civilian workforce. It is for the Air Force, over 1,500 of our financial management workforce is retired military. So they may have a number of years, they may be a lower number of years of federal service as a civilian, yet a little bit older. There's huge advantages with keeping those people on and taking advantage of the skills they bring. It also means you get maybe fewer years of civilian service out of them, and it requires more transition planning as well. But we do have those issues in front of us, certainly.
I believe that our workforce is properly sized and that we have the right people. We have the right skill mix. So I will focus my attention on how we replenish that workforce. And we allow our local commands to hire, basically, but we have two centrally managed programs that we do at my level. The financial management intern program, where we bring college students in that have a 3.5 or better grade point average. We do that recruiting every single year. We go out to universities. We actively recruit people to come in at the 5-7 level, and that has been very effective over the years. We also have an associate program that we centrally manage, where we bring in mid-level employees that have experience either in the private sector. They must have a degree We try to recruit those with advanced degrees. So we feel that we're taking action so that if we should have retirements, as has been stated, the economy allows us to retain people right now, but we actively recruit to replace our personnel specifically in those two programs.
We're looking forward. The Army is going to have a fully deployed, compliant accounting system by next year. And so this new system is much more integrated, has a lot more edits involved in it. So because of the edits, because of its integration, because of its complexity and sophistication, we're going to need more analysts versus accounting technicians. Right now, there's a substantial amount of accounting technicians, budget technicians that are working in our legacy systems. Looking forward, our recruitment strategy is to get more accountants, more budget analysts, folks who know how to apply analytics to the data. There's going to be less input required by the system because that's going to be coming in from our feeder systems, and there's going to be more requirement to look at anomalies should they exist. And so looking forward, we are looking at our skill set and the requirement to recruit those college graduates who are able to do the analytics that are going to be required by our new system.
That's Mary Sally Mattiella, the Assistant Secretary of the Army Financial Management and Comptroller for the Army, on In Depth with Frances Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Her comments there coming in response to questions from Michael Conaway. He's the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee's Panel on Defense Financial Management and Auditability Reform. A hearing last week called Is the Financial Management Workforce Positioned to Achieve DOD's Financial Improvement Goals? And you can find out more about the hearing at FederalNewsRadio.com. The other witnesses on the panel include Sandra Gregory, Special Assistant to the Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller at DOD. That's Robert Hale, of course. Gladys Commons, the Comptroller of the Navy, and Jamie Moore, the Comptroller of the Air Force, all of them on the witness panel for this hearing. Pentagon Solutions is every Wednesday in the 3 o'clock hour, and today's no exception. We look at the challenges the Pentagon is dealing with and hear about the solutions from people both inside and outside the Pentagon, and the focus today, of course, on the Pentagon's auditability, the goal to get the books at the Pentagon auditable by 2017. This is In Depth with Frances Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Coming up at 4:05, grade creep may be happening at your agency. Mike Causey will explain what that is, and it's not nearly as gross as it sounds. You'll find out about that in just minutes on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.